Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor. With me in the studio is our senior pastor, Pastor Ken Keltner, and our youth pastor, or I guess student ministries pastor would be the better title, Pastor Steve Sowers. And guys, we are here just to kind of talk about the preaching through the book of Acts that we have just finished, and just kind of wanted to see if we could recap some of the key things that the Lord did in our own hearts and lives as we studied this book. And of course, we know that it's a book that was written by Luke. And it appears that he was just under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, guided by the Lord to write a letter to a fellow by the name of Theophilus. And we certainly are glad that Luke continued his gospel now with the Acts of the Apostles. But have you ever wondered if maybe it could have been titled a little bit better, like Acts of the Holy Spirit or something like that? Because it seems like that's what the Holy Spirit is doing, you know, and it's God doing the work as opposed to, you know, the apostles.
Well, I think, you know, our whole theme for the whole study of Acts, Pastor Greg, has been a fresh encounter with God's mission. And I think that what is important for us to see is the passion that Peter had and the passion that Paul had. Those are the two central characters in the book of Acts, the passion that they had really for the Lord.
You know, as we watch those two guys respond to change, there were so many things that took place that were new, and, you know, Peter not sure that the gospel could go to the Gentiles, and, of course, the Apostle Paul killing Christians, and then the Lord comes along and identifies himself, you know, as the Lord, and it definitely kind of gives us the idea that a fresh encounter tells us that we have to be flexible, I guess you'd say, to how the Lord directs us in our ministries and reaching new people. And obviously that was something that we saw in this book of Acts, how the Lord was wanting to reach new people.
And I think, too, there's a mission that we've been commissioned to do. And obviously that's in the key passage there in Acts 1:8, when Jesus lets those that are at his ascension understand that there is going to be this new power, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he wants them to understand that you will be witnesses for me.
Right.
You know, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And that same mission is there for us. And probably that is the one area of struggle that we as believers have. We don't share the truth of the gospel. We don't share our faith with people.
Right.
One of the things that has impacted my life as you read the book of Acts is what you see, especially in the beginning with Peter and John, is what can happen in a world when people actually live out the mission that they've been called to do.
Right, right.
And they were willing to go through immense persecution just for this mission. And they were willing to abandon everything for it. And as Paul's life unfolds and his ministry begins, we see them living with this same mindset. Mm-hmm. I know what God has called me to do. I know how I'm supposed to live. And at some point in their lives, it came down to them making a choice of whether they were going to live this mission or whether they were just going to choose to do something else.
Right, just to walk away. Similar to the end of their time right before Jesus went back to heaven, where Peter said, I'm going fishing. You know, it would have been very easy for them to have just kind of all bailed because they all said, well, we're going fishing with you.
And John, you know, his situation when he was arrested, remember, he eventually, as he was being questioned, said, you know, I must obey God rather than men.
Right.
Pastor Steve, you were talking about what would happen if people really understand that mission and are obedient to it, then we get to see God do something supernatural, and you see that all throughout the book of Acts, how he overruled or how he worked in this. And I think the classic passage there is when John, they're being held in jail, then they're freed from jail, not by the authorities, and the religious leaders are in there talking about what they're going to do with these guys, and someone comes in and says, hey, those guys you arrested last night, they're out on the street still preaching right now.
Right. Right.
And they had to go out and get them, but they said, we can't just drag them in because the people, you know, will have a riot on our hands. So then they kind of come in and try to threaten them and intimidate them on, you can't do this. And that's when Peter says, hey, when it comes to what God's asked us to do, we have to obey him rather than man. So I think you get to see God do the supernatural when you're obedient and saying, God, I'm willing and ready to give the gospel. Bring people in my life now that will give me the opportunity and your spirit enable me to share the gospel. And you see what happens when believers are obedient with that.
Mm-hmm. In the end of Acts chapter 5, it's that encounter with Peter and John where it says in verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I mean, when was the last time I considered that kind of suffering and persecution a joy and a privilege, knowing that I was living the way God wanted me to live
Sure.
and doing what I was supposed to be doing, especially as an example in this world for Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we spend time trying to blend in, not stand out. And these men knew what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to live.
And the amazing thing is the fact that it wasn't many days prior to this that they departed, they deserted Jesus when he was arrested. Peter denied even knowing him. And the impact of the Holy Spirit is just so awesome, because from that kind of timidity to this kind of boldness, it reminds me that as soon as Jesus went back to heaven, it said that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and the rest of the disciples. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. And there ensued a 10-day prayer meeting. You know, you just stop and think, God could have sent the Holy Spirit at any time, but he waited until they've been praying 10 days. And I think that usually is our problem. You know, we want the Lord to give us his power. We want God to do something fantastic. I heard somebody say at one time, they prayed for 10 days, preached for 10 minutes, and thousands of people were saved. We want to pray for 10 minutes and preach for 10 days, and we wonder why nobody's saved. But it's simply the power of prayer is one of the key things that I see in this entire book. And so as we consider how God changed their lives, we, of course, understand that he's the same God. And so if we would be willing to spend time in prayer, but boy, our schedules are so full, aren't they? You know, when we try to have a morning of prayer or a day of prayer, it's amazing how many texts we get on our cell phones or interruptions. And it's almost like we need to just set everything aside outside the room and just stay alone with the Lord.
And it's interesting looking at Acts chapter 8 with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was not a preacher.
Right.
We're talking about praying and preaching. And I mean, he was just an individual. He ended up being used in the church there as a deacon. And he was just passionate about being obedient to whatever God wanted him to do. And seeing how the Spirit of God was leading him to meet this Ethiopian eunuch at the right time, right place, right when he's reading through the prophet Isaiah, and not understanding what he's reading. And then Philip, I mean, that is not an accident.
Right.
That's not even a coincidence. You know, we would refer to that as a divine appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You see that with the Apostle Paul at the end of the book of Acts, that God kept giving him an opportunity in front of Gentile kings to give the gospel, and he kept taking those opportunities.
Right, right.
And each man, I'm sure, praying, asking God for opportunities and direction with the gospel, and then to be obedient with it.
So what you're saying is, if we would do the same thing, if we prayed for opportunities for the gospel, the Lord would probably open up more opportunities, wouldn't he?
I believe he would do that. And I know for myself, there are times that I pray for that, and I get home at night, and I'm thinking through the day, and I think, you know, I don't think I really had an opportunity with the gospel. But the more I think through it, the more I think, I do remember meeting somebody. I mean, I missed it.
Right, you know? Right.
And so if we pray, then I need to also pray, God, make me sensitive and have that urging from your spirit. Hey, boom, you know.
Right, right.
You know, maybe I'm so thick-headed that I miss those opportunities.
But the beautiful part of Acts is that the people that were used of God were ordinary people. And they became extraordinary people because of the Spirit's work.
Right.
And I know many of our listeners think that a lot of ministry happens through pastors and through mm-hmm. people who are called to the ministry. But I think there is a strategic and a specific purpose of why God chose the disciples that he did, because mm-hmm. he wanted to use them as an illustration of an ordinary person doing extraordinary things through the Spirit.
And in fact, the spiritual leaders of Israel were so surprised because they said, these guys haven't had any education, but yet we can't shut them up. And their prayer life, there's another passage in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, they're praying again. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that we all may speak with boldness thy word. And it just simply reminds each one of us, you don't have to be a preacher to share God's word. A teenager can share God's word. A child can share God's word. I was visiting with one of our pastors last night and had an evening meal with him, and his seven-year-old son was telling me about telling his next-door neighbor about the Lord. And I thought, that is so neat that our children think it's just natural to be telling their playmates about the Lord.
I think many times children are very eager to share the gospel. I think sometimes moms and dads are saying, hey, you know, hey, be careful, you can't say that or do that. But I've known many children who've had opportunities with their grandmas and grandpas that their moms and dads couldn't have. And, I mean, they just come up and say, Grandpa, Grandma, how come you don't want to accept Jesus as your Savior?
mm-hmm.
I remember when we were in St. Vincent on a missions trip, got in one of these vehicles with all the animals and all, and I was sitting up front, and my youngest went to the back. And I just heard him start talking to a 22-year-old young man there. He started off with, hey, man, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? And the fellow right next to me goes, do you hear what he's asking? I go, yeah. I said, kind of right into it real quick, but I'm thankful for his passion anyway.
Right.
Well, they talked. They kept talking. I guess eventually the fellow in the back was back there praying, and there was a 72-year-old Vincentian woman sitting up in the seat in front. And I guess whenever this fellow said amen, I just heard her yell out, hallelujah! Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings comes the truth. And I thought, well, Lord, I trust, and my prayer is that they wouldn't lose any passion in watching their dad. You know, if there's opportunities that I need to share the gospel, that they jump on board and they see that's happening right in our own home.
Amen. As we bring this radio broadcast to a close, let me just encourage you to take the opportunities that God gives you today and tomorrow. Look for opportunity. Pray for opportunities that the Lord would just lay a situation at your feet that you can just say a word for Jesus and see what God does. It could be that somebody has been praying that somebody would come and talk to them about the Lord and how to have peace of heart and mind, and God could use you. So why don't we make that a matter of prayer, that God would use each one of us, regardless of how old you are or how young you are, today in the service of His kingdom. So until the next time, we pray that the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.